Happy Easter. What a glorious morning this is, and what a long journey we've traveled, not only this week, this last week, but this last year as well. Over the last week, we have journeyed through some of the most spiritually exhausting and at the same time fulfilling days in the Christian year, Holy Week. And over the last year, we have traveled through a pandemic, something I don't think any of us would have imagined possible just over 1 year ago. Last year on Easter Sunday, 2020, I recall sitting in our study at home, participating in the Easter liturgy that was being streamed online by the Episcopal National Cathedral. What a different Holy Week and Easter it was last year. I am reminded by it that Jesus' Holy Week was such a difficult one, right up until the empty tomb that we celebrate this morning. Over the last week, we relived the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, the institution of the Lord's Supper, the betrayal in the garden, the rigged trial, the dreadful crucifixion, the burial, and the waiting. And today, this very day, we have arrived at an empty tomb, and we have arrived at a new and hopeful beginning at the end of a long and desolate year. Today, light outshines the darkness, joy overcomes sorrow, the strife is o'er, the battle done, the victory of life is won. The meaning of this day and of the empty tomb shows us that the love of God is the only thing that triumphs over everything, even death. Some of you may have heard of or experienced what some Celtic Christians called a thin place. A thin place is where the veil between the holy and the human is traversed. A place in which the physical and spiritual worlds are knit together. And if we are so attuned, we can transcend the ordinary for a glimpse of the infinite. These places are often jarring with kinetic energy, and in some ways, they change us. They transform us. They are places that leave our hearts open, more grateful, and less alone. They are often hard to explain because there are no real words to describe the experience. They are holy places, and they remind us of what it means to be in relationship with the holiest of the holies, our loving God. When these thin places have occurred in my life, I find myself so moved by God that I am brought to tears. I don't usually recommend this during my sermons, but go ahead and take a look at the cover of your bulletin. This is Mary Magdalene, kneeling at Jesus' feet. What an image. As John's Gospel tells us, who is left standing at the tomb but Mary Magdalene? She stays at the tomb by herself, weeping, most likely afraid, yet brave enough to stand firm. She looks in and sees angels, and in her grief, she tells them the body of her Lord had been taken away, and in her desperation to find him, asks them if they know where he has been taken. She turns around, and she sees someone standing there who clearly had not been there before, and she mistakes him for the gardener. And this man, who is indeed Jesus, says to Mary, "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for?" Why would Jesus ask her this? He has to know who she's looking for and why she is weeping. Yet he also knows what Mary needs from him. She needs to hear him call her by her name. So he says to her, "Mary," and she immediately knows who he is. The sound of his voice saying her name allows her to see him because she is known by him. I have to imagine that Mary experienced one of those thin places when Jesus said her name. Like Mary, we long to be known by God, to be seen by God as the object of God's love and desire and care. To look for Jesus, to find him, or rather to be found by him, and to hear him call us by our own name. As always, the music on Easter morning is so filled with hope and inspiration. Of course, the traditional hymns and the Alleluia chorus. Thank you. Incredible. And soon you will hear the beautiful and mysterious words of the poet and Anglican priest George Herbert during the anthem the choir will be singing. Herbert wrote the words you will soon hear just before his death in 1633. I am no poet, and sometimes it takes me a bit of time and thought in order to understand what the poet is trying to convey. That was the case in this matter, so I studied the words and talked to some people and did some research. The words we will hear this morning are part of a larger poem that Herbert wrote called Easter. The poem begins with the words, "Rise, heart, the Lord is risen. Sing praise without delay." The first half of the poem is addressed by the speaker to himself. The second half, which the choir will sing today, is addressed to Christ. And the poet recognizes that while he was busying himself to celebrate by bringing flowers, Jesus was already up by the break of day and had beaten him to it. Therefore, there is no reason for the poet to do anything. He has merely to accept the good news of this eternal day. The sun rising in the east, and as the final line of the anthem goes, "Can there be any day but this?" Can there be any day but the resurrection of Jesus Christ to tell us what hope is, what everlasting life is? The resurrection of Jesus Christ changes everything. The resurrection of Christ signifies a significant shift in our human condition. It is not a return to things as they were before, and that is why Jesus says to Mary, "Do not hold on to me. Touch me not," as this 16th century image on the front of your bulletin is called. The resurrection marks Jesus' ascent to God the Father and reinforces the unity of the Father and the Son that John has affirmed throughout his entire gospel. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene and sends her to tell of the good news. "Don't hold on to me. Go and tell the good news." The proclamation of the resurrection of Jesus begins with Mary's words, "I have seen the Lord." The hope of the resurrection is that this world is not just where Jesus died. This world is where Jesus lives. And because Jesus lives, because God has broken the power of sin and death, because the resurrection signals to us that God will redeem all, we are set free to live fully here and now, and to be thankful for any of those thin places we encounter along the way. It makes a difference to know that God enters fully into our human lives, our joys and sorrows, hopes and disappointments, loves and losses. It makes a difference that God suffered death, and it makes a difference to know that God overcame that death in the resurrection that we celebrate this day. And we discover anew what it means to say with Mary and the disciples, I have seen the Lord. When we begin to realize what the empty tomb really means to us, we dare to imagine a different world, a world not imprisoned by the powers of a pandemic or of the power of sin and death, but set free. Set free to live a life full of peace and hope and love. We dare to live in a world where death no longer has any sting, where freedom rings, where the love of Christ conquers sin and evil and everything. A world where in the end we know, because of this day, the day when many years ago in a garden an empty tomb was found, because of it, we know once and for all and forever that God's love conquers everything. And for that we say on this day with great joy, Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.